The text for our message this morning is from the Old Testament reading, Exodus chapter 15, verses 6 through 11. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury, it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, the floods stood up in a heap, the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? This is our text. Dear Christian friends, if you fly on an airplane, one of the first things that's going to happen is that you're going to be shown a picture of how you would escape if there was an emergency. In our midweek Lenten services, we have been looking at pictures, parables that Jesus told of the kingdom of God, and how God is gracious and loving, and how we are to be faithful and trusting in response. Today we're going to look at another picture, actually two pictures, which show a way of escape in which there was none. One is a historical snapshot of Israel when they have escaped from being trapped in slavery and death in Egypt, which we heard in our text. The other is a picture which was drawn by Jesus after he had freed a man who was controlled by a demon. In Luke chapter 11, verses 21 to 22, where Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. These pictures of what has happened for others help us see what happens for us today because of Jesus' resurrection. That is, that we are trapped by death and the devil, but the death is defeated by Jesus' greater power, and so we are freed to live with God. Let's think first about how we are trapped by death and the devil. Moses says, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. These are pictures of the same thing. Now, today we are all too familiar with pictures of hostages being taken by terrorists and militias. We can't help but think about the terrible fate of those who are captive, controlled, and abused. Such fear also keeps others at the same time in virtual prisons, trapped by fear, hiding in their homes, or in refugee camps. Israel had experienced being free, but not really free. The 10 plagues had already gotten Pharaoh to free them from lives of slavery in which they were being worked to death. They had marched out of Egypt, but the path they took them to the edge of the Red Sea, where they were trapped when Pharaoh changed his mind and the armies came charging after them again. What good did it do for them to be free from captivity and slavery if they still couldn't escape death itself? We also end up being trapped, not by water, not by walls, not by chains, but still trapped by death and the devil. Because today, too many use their freedom in ways that lead still to death. Jesus pictured the man who had been possessed by a demon as being someone who was under guard in the house of a strong man. too much. Literal slavery does still exist even today, even without chains or locks, when vulnerable people are controlled by threats. Even though we may not be literally possessed by the devil, as this man was, though too many people are still enslaved, controlled by the power of the devil and sin. The weapon that the devil uses to control us are his temptations. For example, the temptation to pride and to selfishness and to independence. These are some of the devil's favorite temptations because that strong man knows that our weakness is ironically thinking too highly of ourselves. But what happens is when we use our freedom to act this way, acting in pride leads us instead to be caught in shame. Selfishness leads us to fear of losing everything we have, and independence traps us in loneliness and isolation. This way of life leads to a dead end from which we cannot free ourselves. It's a literal dead end because it destroys faith and so turns us away from God, who is the giver of life. But today we celebrate that death is defeated by Jesus' greater power. Moses says, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury, it consumes them like stubble." In comparison, Jesus says, "One stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him." One of the reasons that our country is so often hesitant to send weapons to places of conflict around the world is the concern that they could fall into the hands of the enemy and end up being aimed back at us. Well, this is exactly the kind of thing that God pulls off when the evil attacks us. In his wisdom and his power, he uses those things that threaten us in order to save us. For example, when Israel is trapped between the water of the sea and Egypt's army, God opens up the water to create a way of escape for them and uses that very water to drown their enemies who are pursuing them instead. When the devil threatens us and holds us prisoner, Jesus, the stronger man, steps forward to take our place. He grabs the devil's old weapons and uses them against him, especially the weapon of death itself. He takes everything the devil has to throw at him and says, "Is that all you've got?" He resists pride and accepts the shame of our sins, dying naked on the cross, surrounded by mockers, but in a way that causes a centurion to exclaim, "Surely this was the Son of God," and he rises again in glory. He accepts the rejection and abandonment, even by his disciples. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet he still says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he returns to regather his disciples. He accepts the loss of everything, including life itself, as his killers divide up his only possessions. But he now lives forever as Lord of all creation. By his death, he has sucked the power out of death. By being buried and rising again, he has entered Satan's prison and blasted an exit through which all of us can follow him. Now he uses even our deaths as the way that he takes us to heaven. Having grabbed control of the devil's worst weapons, he uses them against him. He plunders his palace, and so he claims those that he once held hostage. This is how we are free to live with God. Moses says, "At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, the floods stood up in a heap, the depths congealed in the hearts of the sea. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Jesus says, He takes away the armor in which He trusted and divides His spoil. If you were protected by a power that was able to turn everything that threatened you back against the attacker, you would have no reason to fear. This is exactly what God has shown He is able to do. The waters of the sea that meant disaster for Israel were turned into the avenue of their rescue. God does the same for us through the water of holy baptism, in which our old sinful self is drowned and God brings us through it to new life by His Word. And so we are brought into new life as God's children. Now, as those who are claimed by Jesus, we are delivered from the devil's weapons of death, both now and forever in heaven. And so we are freed from shame and have no need for pride, because God's forgiveness is stronger than any of our sins, and because our value comes from Jesus' love for us. We are freed from fear of loss and therefore of selfishness, because God can provide more than any destruction can take away, and we have His assurance that He will take care of us through the loss of our life itself. So we have God's peace that passes understanding, which is strong enough to overcome any anxiety about the unknown. And we are freed from isolation and foolish independence by the love of Christ for us, from which He promises nothing can separate us. And even when we suffer, the life God gives us in heaven cannot compare with any of the temporary sufferings we experience here. This is what Jesus gives us through the power of His Word. Even though when the devil holds a person in the grip of his possession, he knows he has to flee when commanded in the name of by the authority of Jesus. Even when we are trapped in temptations and sin, we are freed from guilt and given a fresh start by the forgiveness that comes in the name of Jesus. This is why today, and week after week, we gather to hear and to repeat and to celebrate what God tells us in His Word, as we continue to receive through faith what He has given us in His promises. Because His Word is the weapon of the stronger man, which He uses when He comes to rescue us. As we are trapped by death and the devil, living lives controlled by shame or fear and isolation, death is defeated by Jesus' greater power. And so all the power of the devil and death over us is broken. We are freed to live with God, who has brought us through the water, out of the prison, by the death and the resurrection of Jesus, who leads us with Him to eternal life. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.